Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Ireland's COVID tracker app was hailed as one of the most successful in the world when it was launched. It had a total of 2.49 million downloads. But has it been successful in terms of the fight against COVID, and are people still using it? Well, Ciara O'Brien is technology writer and journalist with the Irish Times, and she's here now. Ciara, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good
morning. So on the COVID tracker app, first of all, I gave the figures there for the number of downloads initially, but how many active users does it have now?
It has 1.3 million active users, and the difference for the disparity, I mean, it can be very easily explained. The active users obviously are people who are still using it every day, but people, there's about 2.5 million downloads of it, and that could be because, like me, people change phones, you know, so then when you download it again, it's counted as a new download. The active users obviously is the more important figure, because they are the people who have the contact tracing part of it active day in and day out, and they're the ones who are going in and checking in, you know, every day to say that they have no symptoms, and all that provides information to the HSE.
Okay.
And it can be quite valuable.
And that's about 34% of over 16s in
it
the country.
It is. And look, it doesn't seem like that much, but I think there's an awful lot of concentration on whether or not these apps actually work, because obviously the more people that use it, the better. There is 34% doesn't seem like that many people. And when you look at the actual figures, there was, I think the most recent one when I checked this morning, there's been more than 23,000 close contact alerts issued, and more than 15,000 users, actually close to, I think it's 15,100 users, have uploaded their anonymous contacts to the HSE to allow those close contact alerts to go out. Now, that doesn't seem like much, but if, you know, that's, you know, 15,000 people who may not have had, you know, that they may not have known that they were close contact, 23,000 people that may not have known that they were close contact without that app. You know, it's the COVID tracker app was never intended to be, you know, this one kind of silver bullet that will fix everything. We have this and then we don't have to worry. It's a weapon, it's in the arsenal. So it's like social distancing, like wearing masks. Nothing is 100%. So the more you have, I suppose, at your disposal, the better.
Yeah, it does seem pretty low, though, in the context of 250,000 COVID cases, that there's only 23,000 times that it has been used for that.
It does,
close contacts.
You have to, I suppose, to put in context as well, you have to remember that people have a choice whether or not they upload those contacts to the HSE. They don't necessarily have to do it. You know,
yeah.
It's not something that you get a positive COVID test and then your contacts are automatically uploaded. People have to make the choice whether or not they want to do it. Then take into account that not everybody has a phone that it will work on. Like they've done their best, I suppose. There's only so much you can do with the technology. So if you have an older phone, an older Android phone, or say an iPhone, I think that was before the iPhone 6, it won't work because the system that it uses is only compatible with certain versions of the operating system software on those phones.
Okay, I just wonder, because we don't hear much about it in the official communications or information campaigns. I have it on my phone and it's fairly sure it's active because I didn't touch it since I downloaded it, really. But I don't use it. Like, I'm not checking in and I'm not really aware of it.
No, and I don't think people need to be constantly going into I will say one thing, go in and check that it is actually still active on the contact tracing part of it, because there was an issue a while ago where some people found that it was actually deactivated and they hadn't done anything. It was one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, and there was the issue then with battery drain on Android phones. That was fixed. But an awful lot of people
stopped using
it. So
it's not doing that anymore, is it?
No, it shouldn't
be. Because that was a big issue for people.
I use it on an Android phone and an iOS phone. I have never noticed battery drain on either, but I know there was quite a significant number of people who did notice it. And then they deleted it thinking that that would solve the problem. For some people it did, but the issue was fixed. Some people reinstalled it, some people didn't. And obviously then there is an awful lot of distrust around kind of using tracking apps, whether or not they're actually tracking your physical location, which they're not. I'll just say that again. There was some confusion, particularly around the start, around Android, because Android lumps the Bluetooth scanning, which is what the COVID tracker app uses, to say that I am within a metre and a half of you, which we're not obviously at the moment, but that, you know, to kind of identify people who have come into that range of you.
Yes.
It uses something called Bluetooth scanning, and that is in the Android system is lumped in under location services.
Okay, so. Okay. Because I remember at the start of the pandemic how unsettled we all were when we saw what some countries in Asia in particular were doing with QR codes. And that at the time, at the beginning of this, like, oh, I'm not sure about that. So that the state will know where you've been, who you've been in contact with. Mm-hmm. We don't seem to be quite as worried about that anymore, because a lot of countries are using QR codes now to open up.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that there is a small difference in that, particularly in the early days of the, I suppose the QR codes being used as like a health app. You know, people in certain parts of Asia were being basically using these apps. They were scanning, they were getting like a red, green, orange, you know, health rating. And depending on what you had, that meant if you could either leave your apartment building, you could use public transport. So obviously that feels very intrusive. And I think an awful lot of people would be very wary about something like that now. Mm-hmm. Now, what we have seen is people using QR codes for contact tracing, because particularly in the UK at the moment, the NHS has an NHS QR code that venues put up. And when you go, say, to your local pub, you scan that and it uses the NHS contact tracing app then to basically check you in there. So if you're in contact with somebody in that venue who is subsequently diagnosed with COVID-19, they have a way of contacting you, but they don't necessarily have your personal details. Mm. And I think that's the key thing there, is how much contact information people are handing over because of these QR codes. And look, there's always privacy implications. And I think we have to think very carefully before we dive in with both feet with things like QR codes and the contact tracing. And, you know, people have been weighing up, I suppose, the pros and cons of being able to contact people in a timely manner to say, look, you might want to get tested for COVID.
So I have to scan in using my QR code, and the NHS has that information there that I was in this place where there might be an outbreak.
My understanding is it's linked through the contact tracing app.
Okay.
So the NHS contact tracing app, which is, you know, works similar to ours in that they don't have, you know, your name and your number, but they do have, you know, the app that can send an alert. So you've checked in to your local pub through this QR code and through the app, and then you'll get an alert through the app if needs be.
So now I'm going to overcomplicate this. Say a crime was committed in that pub, mm-hmm. and the investigators, the police, need to know who was there. Can they access the information via the QR code system?
As far as I'm aware, no, because it would still be just linked to this anonymous app. You know, it's not linked to, when I signed up for the app, some people, when they signed up for the Irish app, they handed over their mobile number. That was just to get text messages for COVID alerts if they wanted to, or for them to ring you, but you didn't have to hand it over. So it depends on the information that you have handed over. But then it also depends on the local laws. So what we would allow here may not be allowed in another country. What other countries would allow in terms of using all that information to contact people would not be allowed here, because obviously we've got GDPR regulations, and that severely limits what the authorities can do. And it does include the authorities, but it severely limits what organisations can do with that information. And they can't just hand it over willy-nilly. They're not allowed to.
Mm, but once travel opens up again, whenever that happens, mm-hmm. these questions are going to be very pertinent, aren't they?
They are, because, I mean, look, we could say, no, we're not going to have COVID passports in Ireland. But that doesn't mean that when you go to the States that they're not going to ask for your status, whether or not you're vaccinated, whether or not you've been infected, whether or not you've been tested, you know. And so it's all very well for us to say we're not going to do this, and we really don't want to do this, but we can't control what other countries do. There are obviously considerations. I mean, I'm not a political expert, but there are considerations within the EU about, you know, freedom of movement. We've seen that with the mandatory hotel quarantine in different countries, kind of expressing concerns about our use of it. But, you know, I suppose we have to wait and see, because there are talks about this certificate, this green cert that will allow people free movement once they have been fully vaccinated. There are issues here, obviously, in the supply of vaccines, that, you know, there's only a certain number of people that have been vaccinated. Mm. When we all get vaccinated, maybe people will feel a bit better about having to hand over that status. Or when we're all allowed or basically able to be vaccinated, when we have that choice whether or not we want to be vaccinated. I think there's been a lot of talk about COVID passports, and, you know, having to have maybe a vaccine before you can travel to certain countries. And there's been a lot of pushback on that, and there's been concerns raised with different civil rights groups about stuff like that. But I suppose for some countries that already exists to a certain extent, because there are countries you can't travel to without having had a certain number of vaccines before you go. This is just another one, but it's something that's very new to us, and obviously people are very wary of it.
And the QR codes then, some businesses here are at least trialling them, aren't they?
There are, because it's an easier way for people to do contact tracing. So there is one Irish company that I spoke to, Count Me.ie. It's countmein.ie. It's basically they will say your local barber could use this, and when you go to your local barber, you scan the code, you give your contact details, the bare minimum contact details that you're supposed to give, and that is then held in a kind of a GDPR compliant system. So if one of the customers or the staff is then diagnosed with COVID-19, there's a way to contact you. The thing is, at the moment, a lot of it's being done on paper, and that's not ideal.
Ciara, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. It's very interesting, and it's all ahead of us. Ciara O'Brien there, technology writer with the Irish Times. Let's take a quick break.
Today with Clareburn. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.